You're listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
Check, check, 1, 2. Look like a little country. Some rock and roll and blues. Cause we sure love playing for good people like you. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, 1, 2.
You are listening to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, the radio show that features conversations with and the music of local musicians and traveling musicians performing in town. I'm your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I'm talking with Samuel Lee, guest conductor and violist with the Hilton Head Symphony Orchestra for their concert entitled Beethoven and Mozart. This will be on Sunday, February 8th at 4 p.m. and Monday, February 9th at 7:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church, 540 William Hilton Parkway. Welcome to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, Samuel Lee.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Well, let's get to know Samuel Lee. Tell me your musical journey.
I was grown up in a musical family. My aunt is a violist and a pianist. My mother was also a singer. My cousin is a composer. Now he's living in Chicago. My younger brother is a sound engineer. So it was very natural for me to start learning instruments like violin and piano when I was already 3. And I learned viola as major instrument from my aunt when I was 10. And then after graduating high school, I went to Germany to study viola with grandiose violist Tabea Zimmermann in Berlin. And I met wonderful colleagues for my former string quartet, Novus String Quartet, with the quartet I had played about 10 years together. And then I started orchestra conducting as major in 2014. So I always did playing viola, playing string quartet, orchestra conducting at the same time. And then I was very lucky to be invited to the assistant conductor audition in Cincinnati 2022. And I have been the associate conductor of the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra for 3 years. Recently, I have done my 3 years tenure there. And this season, as guest conductor, I have debuts with 20 orchestras around the world.
Well, and you have relatively recently received a major conducting award.
Yeah, there was the Marco competition in Copenhagen 2 years ago already.
And that's been connected then with several orchestral performances as a guest conductor at various orchestras around the world.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing that for the first prize winner, they give about 24 orchestras as prize concerts. It's amazing.
And Hilton Head Symphony Orchestra.
When I was the associate conductor of Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra there, I met John Morris Russell. He's the pop conductor there in Cincinnati, but also he's the music director of Hilton Head Symphony Orchestra. So it was very kind of him that he invited me as guest conductor this season.
Why, as a successful violist and member of a string quartet, why did you decide on conducting?
It's because of my character, probably. I always enjoyed making music with many musicians, many colleagues together. And also, a string quartet is kind of intimate ensemble, but it was always very fun to make a brilliant sound with 100 people together. And when I was a child in Korea, I was always kind of leader of every group. And I enjoyed like leading the group, I think.
So the performance that you're going to be doing here on February 8th and February 9th at the Hilton Head Symphony Orchestra concert, entitled Beethoven and Mozart, of course, has Beethoven and Mozart on it, but you begin with Louise Farenc's Overture No. 2. So this will be a piece that most people aren't familiar with.
Right. Even this is my very first time to perform the overture. And I'm very excited to do that. Louis Franck, most of people probably don't know about the piece, but it's totally underrated composer and the piece. It's magnificent classical piece. French female composer, period is similar to the Beethoven. And you can feel immediately the typical traditional classical music of Europe.
It's great that you're featuring Louis Ferenc, as you mentioned, a greatly underappreciated and underperformed composer, as many female composers are. And actually, just this past fall, I honored her on one of my other shows called 4 Centuries of Great Music because it was the sesquicentennial of her death.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I honored her in a whole 2-hour program with her music. But this piece is really exciting because it has a very powerful opening with these three pairs of fortissimo chords. It says, I'm here right away.
And I feel like it's great connection between the Ferenc overture to the Mozart Symphonia Concertante. The overture starts like with very powerful and dark E flat minor, and then it's to the bright side E flat major, and then we have the Mozart Symphonia Concertante in again and E flat major. So it's kind of a beautiful key change like connection.
In her overture, she goes back and forth between these very powerful chords and these wonderful, sort of quieter orchestral insertions.
I really can't wait. How is the acoustic with the orchestra in the hall with the powerful piece? Because the instrumentation is very typical classical thing, but it's written very powerful with like the timpani and the brass.
Thank you.
And to compare with that overture, Mozart is like more simple, like with only oboes and horns with strings, like it's more like lightened.
Right. And so the Mozart Sinfonietta Concertante Kochel 364 in E flat major, as you mentioned, is a piece that is written for solo violin, solo viola, as well as what you described, the two oboes, the two horns, and strings. So it's a much lighter selection of instruments and really sort of returning to the classical period of Mozart, away from the sort of more romantic period of the Luis Ferenc. And it's in three movements: Allegro meno sosso, Andante, and Presto. And it is my understanding that often the viola is scorzatura tuned.
Yeah, that's the interesting part. Actually, Mozart wrote originally the viola part in D major, and to make the tuning like half note higher to E flat major, because to compare the sound volume at the time, violin and viola was always kind of weaker, and when you tune the D major, like every string's like half note higher, then the strings has more tension and the sound volume is also increasing. That was the intention of the Mozart. And also with D major, the key, you can have more open strings and the instrument resonates like more naturally. That was the intention. But nowadays, most of people play without scordatura in just E flat major.
And so you'll be performing that way. And also on this piece, as the violinist, is Brian Allen.
He's the violinist of the orchestra. And of course, it's my first time to meet the orchestra. It's also my first time to meet Brian. I'm very, very excited to meet him soon. It'll be interesting.
Well, and this again, the program that you have here is really, really interesting because of the fact that, again, it opens with the Luis Ferenc, which is something undoubtedly the most classical music listeners have not heard. The Fourth Symphony, many may have not ever heard the Fourth Symphony live. But then the middle piece, as we've talked about, is the Mozart Sinfonia Concertante Kochel 364, which is just a wonderful play between the violin and the viola throughout the work.
And for me, it's quite special. You call it play directing. So playing an instrument and then conducting the orchestra. So you have to decide like when to conduct and when not to conduct, because some parts the orchestra can play itself without receiving cues, but some points they really need the precise cues from the conductor. And it's always very exciting to make the dialogue between violin solo and viola solo, but also same time like two solos together against the orchestra. So like multiple dialogue, you can say it.
Well, and it's interesting that you doing this is taking us back to that time, because it was not unusual that if there was a soloist, the soloist would also be the conductor of the orchestra.
But probably at that time, the most of leader was probably the violinist. He plays and leads the orchestra. But nowadays, you can see often the violist can also be the conductor.
And it's a wonderful chance to hear the viola as a solo instrument, which again is quite rare.
That's right. From 20th century, you have like more pieces like Walton Concerto, Bartok Concerto, Hindemith Concerto. But before that time, every single solo pieces for viola is so valuable because they are so rare. As a viola soloist, you have really only like Mozart Sinfonia Concertante, Bruch Romance, Hofmeister Concerto, Stamitz Concerto. Actually, that's all. And probably Mozart's Sinfonia Concertante is most beloved one among these viola concertos.
concertos you mentioned, relatively few. But since then, also, there's been an explosion of solo viola works.
Yeah, the instrument has developed. So nowadays, the viola has like more power than before. Because in Baroque or classical period, viola was like almost like ensemble instrument, like accompaniment, and it sounded also very small. But now, like after the 20th century, viola became kind of powerful instrument for this magnificent pieces by Bartók, Hindemith, Walton. And also the players became so much active.
Thank you.
This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
You're listening to WRUU, your local radio station, for people just like you, hosted by people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and others from the Savannah and Lowcountry area. In other words, WRUU is your community radio station. Please help us by donating whatever you can to help your neighbors and friends stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station. Any amount is welcomed. Thank you for your support of WRUU.
This portion of WRUU's programming is brought to you by listeners like you and by the American Traditions Collection of Concerts, including the American Traditions Competition Week, featuring 24 of the top singers from around the country from February 16th to the 20th in quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals competitive rounds at Victory North, 2603 Whitaker Street, Savannah. More information and tickets are available at www.atcsavannah.org. This music is often called classical music, but remember, Mozart, Beethoven, and Liszt were the rock stars of their time, so I simply call it great music. I'm your host, Dave Lake, and join me for four centuries of great music, with new episodes each week on Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. We also have encores of these episodes on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. from mid-June to early December. Welcome back to Music Local and Sustainable, and I'm your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I'm talking with Samuel Lee, guest conductor and violist with the Hilton Head Symphony Orchestra, for their concert entitled Beethoven and Mozart. This will be on Sunday, February 8th at 4 p.m. and Monday, February 9th at 7:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church, 540 William Hilton Parkway. And then the second half of the program is the Beethoven, and it's Beethoven Symphony Number 4, Opus 60 in B-flat major.
Mm.
And this has a special meaning to me because of the fact that our conductor here in Savannah at the Savannah Philharmonic conducted this piece as the first time that the Philharmonic actually had performed it.
Really?
Yeah. So the two of us joke about it as a Beethoven premiere. And one doesn't always have the chance to have a Beethoven premiere these days.
Yeah. I don't know when the last time Hilton Head Symphony Orchestra played this symphony. I'm quite sure that this symphony is relatively and rarely played. And totally underappreciated. I personally like this symphony almost the most from among all the Beethoven symphonies. I really love this fourth symphony.
And people in this area, in Savannah and the adjacent Hilton Head, really have a 1-2 punch, in a sense, of Beethoven in the first week of February, because the Savannah Philharmonic is doing the third symphony.
Eroica.
Eroica.
Is it with the music director, Keitaro Harada?
No, actually, we have a guest conductor for that performance as well. So that's another similar event between Savannah and Hilton Head.
Mm-hmm.
Darko Budurak, who is the conductor of the Asheville Symphony Orchestra, will be guest conducting. So the Beethoven Symphony Number 4, Opus 60 in B-flat major, is in four movements, as symphonies are. And this follows the third, of course. And so it is in that elevated position of Beethoven and Beethoven's writing of symphonies. Although it somewhat reflects some earlier symphonies, its length, for instance, reflects the symphonies of the classical period. It is reflecting a lot of what Beethoven started to develop with the third symphony. Its first movement, it starts with a very quiet adagio, and it is sort of mysterious to me.
Yeah. The atmosphere is all like Mahler's first symphony beginning, or like Brahms' second symphony, fourth movement, that mysterious part, like. Definitely the interval and the atmosphere, the instrumentation is very similar to the Mahler's first symphony beginning.
Well, and but then there is after, and I think it runs like 30, 40 bars, something like that. Mm. And then you have a fortissimo repetition of the chord.
Explosion.
Yeah.
that gets us into the Allegro vivace, which is the main section of the first movement. And of course, it's in sonata form, very typical, with the theme introduced. Then you have this second theme subject, and you have development section, recapitulation, and coda.
I think among the all Beethoven's nine symphonies, probably the fourth symphony is most bright one, and it's typical of Beethoven's extreme powerful explosion. And as you told them, it starts with really materials a character with much tension, and the structure and form is so perfectly written. So I think that is the value of this symphony by Beethoven.
And the second movement is Adagio. It is sort of reflective back on the early Beethoven, like in the first and second symphonies. It's relatively simple in structure with the theme, variation on the theme as the development, and then a recapitulation of the theme followed by a coda.
Yeah, the most special thing in the second movement is the rhythm. Boom, 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 boom. Like heartbeat or like walking. And actually, Beethoven's symphony sometimes has specific, like noticeable melody, but his typical rhythm and the figure of rhythm and like the structure itself makes the atmosphere, and the second movement is kind of very good example of that.
Then the third movement is Marc Scherzo Trio, Allegro Vivace. And it has, although I understand he did write scherzo on the original manuscript, however, a lot of the publications of this symphony say minuetto, because it is sort of a dance-like feature, perhaps not as revolutionary as the scherzo, for instance, of the Third Symphony.
Right. Before Beethoven's time, most of the third movement of the symphony classical period was like minuetto, as you said. But scherzo was kind of Beethoven's character. And most of scherzos by Beethoven is very fast movement, very energetic, and very active dance movements. But the fourth symphony, the scherzo, you can tell, say also like kind of typical Beethoven's scherzo, but to compare with the third symphony, Eroica scherzo, maybe it's a little bit more gentle.
A little bit more gentle and a little bit, to me, a little bit more dance-like.
Yeah, more dance-like. That's right. All right.
Yeah. And then, of course, the last movement is the Allegro ma non troppo. Very powerful, full force Beethoven.
This is probably most notey fast movement for the string instruments from all the Beethoven symphonies. Very virtuoso, not only for strings, but also for clarinet, also for bassoons. So they always have this difficult excerpts in their orchestra audition. And very, very technically high level movement. At the end, the audience loves it. I know. It's like most exciting movement.
Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I've been talking with Samuel Lee, guest conductor and violist with the Hilton Head Symphony Orchestra, for their concert entitled Beethoven and Mozart, which will be on Sunday, February 8th at 4 p.m. and Monday, February 9th at 7:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church, 540 William Hilton Parkway. And I want to thank you so very much, Samuel Lee, for being on the show tonight.
Thank you. Great pleasure.
This has been another edition of Music Local and Sustainable, and I've been your host, Dave Link. Save this time for another show next week.
Well, I know we ain't headed for the Hall of Fame. Gonna give it what we got, man, it ain't no shame. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, 1, 2. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, 1, 2.